Turning your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. We'll read some verses over there. We've been studying in Mark chapter 6. This is our 29th lesson, and we're going to start reading tonight in verse number 14. And just for the sake of time, we're not going to read all these verses, but we're going to try to get down through verse number 29. This is all one section that goes together, and really, you'll probably take about three Wednesday nights and deal with this passage of Scripture. It's like anything else. The more you look at it, the more you learn and the more you see and would like to bring out. But we're trying to move along. I wouldn't say we're moving along quickly, but we're trying to keep it a steady pace and everything. But Mark chapter number 6, verse number 14. And we'll just start reading down through verse number 20. The Bible said, "And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or is one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, 'It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead.' For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, 'It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife.' Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." And so we'll stop there, and as we go along, we'll go down through the rest of these verses. But really, chapter 6, verses 14 through verse number 29, all goes together. Now, there are three main characters in this passage of Scripture, and I want to take a little bit of time tonight and look at each of them. And the three main characters in this passage of Scripture are John the Baptist, and we read here about him, and then Herod, verse number 14 said, "And King Herod heard of him." Now, this is Herod Antipas, and those of you that know your Bible genealogies, you know there's more than one Herod. There's several Herods in the Bible. This is the son of Herod the Great. This is the son of the Herod that we find in Matthew chapter number 2 that the wise men came to and they inquired of the birth of the Lord. And this is the son of the Herod that had made the law to have the great slaughter of all the male children in Jerusalem. So this is not that Herod. It's not Herod the Great. That Matthew chapter number 2 is Herod the Great. This is his son that he's talking about. And then the other individual is Herodias, his wife, or who was Philip's wife. Then she married this Herod. So she was actually the king's sister-in-law, who is now Herod's wife, who becomes the queen. And you thought your family was all messed up. Well, theirs was really messed up. I guess they believed in promotion from within. And so she moved up the ranks quite a bit, and we don't learn from the Bible what happened to Philip, but usually under a circumstance like that, he probably had a bad end. And the Herods were known to kill and murder even in their own ranks, so that they might protect their kingship or their authority, or so that they might get promoted. And so this is just what we might say today, a messed up situation. But what we want to try to, if I was given a title to the lesson tonight, I want to look at three things. We're going to look at the greatest, then the weakest, and then the wickedest. And I guess that's a word we're going to use that you know what I mean. We're going to look at the greatest, John the Baptist, the weakest, Herod, and the wickedest person probably one of the most wicked individuals in the Bible is Herodias. And so we want to look at these individuals tonight. And we're going to start with John the Baptist in verses 14 through 16. We'll say he's the greatest. The Bible said again, and King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. Therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. And what they were hearing about the works and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who, technically, that they were hearing about. But when Herod heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, he thought that it was John. He was convinced that it was John. And then it goes on down in this passage of Scripture, and it begins to tell what happened to John. But Herod here is convinced that it was John. Although we know it was talking about the Lord Jesus, I want to emphasize, he thought it was John. He thought it was John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Verse 16, but when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. And so Herod thought this great individual he was hearing about, he thought it was John the Baptist that had come to life again. Now, the reason I say that John is the greatest is because that's what Jesus referred to him as. Jesus referred to John the Baptist as the greatest born among women. Matthew 11 and verse 11, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And in Matthew chapter number 11, when the Lord Jesus said that, John was in prison. And he had sent his disciples to go and inquire if the Lord Jesus was really the Messiah, if he was the Christ. And some might look at John and say, well, John was a doubter. John was doubting the Lord. And you remember the Lord sent back and he said the lame are healed and the blind see and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And so the Lord Jesus did not look down on John because he was just verifying, making sure. You know, we, as far as I know, none of us have ever been in the situation like John was. He's put in prison for his faith. He's put in prison for preaching the truth. And so the Lord Jesus said, there's none greater among all that's born of women. There's none greater than John the Baptist. Now, we could say many things, and I've preached on John before. He's one of the greatest individuals in the Bible. He had a very unique calling, and we could say that he was greatest in his calling. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the announcer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3 said, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And so he not only prepared the way of the Lord, but he was uniquely chosen and appointed by God to prepare a people for the Lord. John the Baptist, he was sent baptizing. And so this is something that has never been done before. John is a very unique person in the Bible, the only one like him. So we could say he's the greatest in his calling. We could say he's the greatest in his character. Even Herod, as wicked as he was, when he looked at at John the Baptist, he said about him, and let me see if I can point the verse out here, verse number 20, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And so when Herod seen John, he said, there's something different about him. He's a just man. He's a holy man. Notice the Bible says that Herod observed him. He watched what he did and what he said. And you know, if you and I claim to know the Lord, people are watching us. They're observing us, whether we're true or not. I also noticed over in Luke chapter 1, I was reading and studying over there earlier today, Luke chapter 1 verse 15 said about John, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." I'd never really noticed that before, but before he was born, the Bible said he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And it said, "And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." John was a Nazarite. That where it says, "Shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." If you go back in the book of Numbers, chapter number 6, I believe it is, those that had taken a Nazarite vow, such as Samson, not to cut his hair. And that wasn't the only thing that a Nazarite would do. They were not to, they couldn't even drink grape juice. I mean, they were just separate from even other people that were walking with the Lord. They'd taken a vow. And they lived a different type of lifestyle. So that's how he was. "And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." John was greatest in his character, in his calling. He was greatest in his message. John chapter 1 verse 29. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." How many have preached that message down through the ages? But John was the first. And so he had a great message. He was great in his humility. I like to preach out of John chapter 3 verse 30, where John said, "He must increase and I must decrease." John didn't get the big head. John didn't get to thinking, "Boy, this is all about me." He knew this is all about the Lord. He has to get bigger and I have to get smaller. What a great attitude that is for one as great as John the Baptist. And then here in Mark chapter 6, and I'm going through these pretty quickly tonight, and because we have a lot of things we want to point out about the other two, but he was greatest in his courage. Look what the Bible said in Mark chapter 6, verse number 18. "For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Now that took a lot of courage. I don't think that Herod had invited him up there to hear what he had to say so that John the Baptist could rebuke him in his personal life. But John, no matter how it came about, he did not pass up the opportunity that God gave him to say, "King, there's something wrong in your life. It is not lawful for thee." And you ought to underline that in your Bible. Notice what he said. "For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." John knew what many other people do not know. And this is that John knew that there is a law that's above man's law. And it's God's law. A lot of people would associate, the king, verse 14, and King Herod. They would associate the king with the law. And they'd say, "Well, if the king does it, that's the law. That makes it all right." But John knew that even though Herod was the king, he was doing something that was not right. When he said, "It is not lawful," he wasn't talking about some law that Herod had made. He's talking about God's law. God's law is above and trumps man's law. God's law is always right. It doesn't matter if the king is doing directly contrary to what it says. Does not make it right. And so John understood this. He said to Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." That took a lot of courage. Who in their right mind would go to the king and say, "It's not lawful. What you're doing is not lawful"? That took a lot of courage for John to do that. Some may say John shouldn't have said anything about it. John was there and evidently God laid it on his heart. And he had the courage to tell the king, "You're not doing right. It's not lawful." John was referring to God's law. So there's many things we could say about John the Baptist and him being the greatest. But we look on down. I wanted to really take some time and look at Herod tonight. He's the weakest. John's the greatest. Herod is the weakest. He's the king. And he has the power to just say the word and a man's head be taken off his shoulders. That's a lot of power. He didn't have to run it through a lawyer or by a lawyer either. We'll read on down and see how quickly this transpired, that John the Baptist's head was taken off just at the word of King Herod. So on one hand, he had a lot of power. He had a great deal of authority. But in reality, as we study about Herod and look at him as an individual, he's actually a very weak man. He is weak morally. He is weak spiritually. He is weak mentally. He's a wimp. Herod, really. He's a coward. He's a bully. All these things we could say about Herod. Have you ever wondered how so many times men like this end up being rulers over the rest of us? I believe we could take and make a lot of parallels tonight between things in Herod's life and other men who have become great leaders. How is it? How does that happen over and over and over again that the weakest of men end up with the most power? Well, Herod was like that. Let's look at some things in Herod's life. Herod had, for one thing, he was weak because he had a troubled conscience. There was something that was bothering him. Look in verses 14 through 16. We've already read those already, but just look at verse 16 again. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." There was something that was bothering Herod, troubling his conscience. And even though that makes no sense, that a man, I mean, he saw John's head on a charger. He had John's head. John's not coming back from the dead. But Herod is so troubled over this. He's so bothered over this. Sin unrepented of, evil deeds stored up in our minds and in our hearts, it'll drive you crazy. I know years ago, Dr. Ben Burt, I heard him say on the radio, he said, "The Bible doesn't make men crazy. Knowing what the Bible says and not doing it is what makes people crazy." And I thought, boy, that's a true statement. The Bible doesn't drive people crazy. Living contrary to the Word of God drives people crazy. And it bothers them and it troubles them. Here's the king. He's highly educated. He no doubt has a certain amount of intelligence about him. Yet he thinks a man whose head's been cut off is going to come back from the grave maybe to get him. Haunt him, trouble him. He saw, and it says here, a charger. A charger is a big dish, a big platter. He saw John's head on a platter. He thinks John's come back to get him. He's weak because he has a troubled conscience, because he has sin in his life. And no doubt it's troubling him. He is weak because he's superstitious. He thinks John's come back. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." If people will not believe the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's who this is really about, if they won't believe the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will believe anything. We just studied last semester, Kingdom of the Cults. And if you really study the different cults and what people propose to believe, it is amazing. The things that people believe that are just absolutely out of this world. If you ever studied about Scientology, you know Tom Cruise, that's what he's all caught up in. Well, he appears to be pretty smart. I mean, he looks like he would be, and he's got all these millions of dollars and he's made all this money and he has all this fame, but if you knew what Scientology believed and taught, it is the nuttiest, craziest thing you ever heard of in your life. They believe that the human race was planted here by aliens. They believe that each person has a, forget what it's called, a triton or some word like that that fights over their soul. I mean, it is. But see, L. Ron Hubbard founded that. He was a science fiction writer. And that's exactly what it's saying. But if you won't believe the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, you'll believe anything else under the sun. And that's why you have out here in the world today, anything else under the sun. Crazy stuff. And that's how Herod was. John's come back from the dead. Did he believe he's going to get haunted? Did he believe he's going? I don't know. But if you don't believe the truth of the Lord Jesus, you'll believe anything else. If you won't believe the truth, the only other option you have is a lie. And so he was weak because he was superstitious. He didn't believe the truth concerning Christ. He was weak because he was, and I found this word today. I was looking for another word for henpecked. That's what Herod was. But I found this word. He was unmanned. That's a pretty good word to describe. He was just henpecked. We say led by the nose, tied to the apron strings, dominated. He was like Ahab and Jezebel, Herod and Herodias. That's the kind of relationship that he had. Look in verse number 17 what the Bible says. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake. We read down in verse number 20, actually, I believe Herod liked John the Baptist. He was interested in what he said, but the reason that he had John put in prison was because of her. She made him do it. She was the influence, and she's probably the one that kept Herod from coming to the truth. And there are those that keep others from coming to the truth. And we'll talk about her and show some things about her in a little bit, but he's supposed to be the king, but he was led by her. Unmanned, that's a good way to put it. He's weak because he's unmanned. He's weak because he was rash in his decision making. Look at verse 21. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, his captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. He was weak because he was rash in his decision making. He was unwise. I mean, what kind of a man makes a vow like that? I swear unto you in front of all these people. She was probably not much more than a teenage girl, a young lady. She comes in and does a little dance, and Herod in a moment just up and says, whatever you want, half of all of my kingdom, I swear to you, you just name it and I'll do it for you. That's a decision just in a few minutes he is going to regret that he had made such an offer. But you think about it tonight, there was no reason in the whole wide world for him to do anything like that. That was foolish. There was no reason, there was no benefit to making a an offer like that unto an individual that she was nothing to him. She was not another ruler. She had no power over him. But all of a sudden he just up and says, boy, whatever, I just enjoyed that so much. Whatever you want, you just ask it. I'll give it to you up to the half of my kingdom. Or only a rash individual would make an unwise, spur-of-the-moment decision like that. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. He couldn't control his tongue. Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And here she comes in and dances, and boy, he promises her anything she wants. It's foolish to do that. He's a weak individual. He was weak in his influence. Verses 22 through 26 are in that he was influenced. Let's read verse 22. We read that, verse 23. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou should ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. Now he was influenced. There are several things that influenced Herod in a bad way. Now it does not say in the Bible, but if you study about the lifestyle of these individuals and how they live, and their traditions and their manners, I believe it would be safe to say that alcohol was involved. I'm sure that it's safe to say tonight that alcohol influenced him to make this rash oath unto Herodias' daughter. Lust influenced him. Inflamed him in another way, we might say. Both of these are a product of alcohol. And this type of living, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 33 about the influence of alcohol, it says, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. He looked on her and he all of a sudden up and said what he said. I'll give you whatever you want. You just ask it of me. Both of those are a byproduct of the influence of alcohol. Peer pressure influenced him. Verse 26, and the king was exceeding sorry. That means that he wished he hadn't said what he said. But yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him. He was influenced by all those men that he'd invited in. And, well, they were looking, old Herod, you going to do that? That's not what he had in mind when he made that offer to her. He thought maybe she'd want a Walmart gift card or something. I don't know. But, boy, he wasn't expecting that, I'm sure. And he was sorry, but instead of saying, you know, I'm drunk, I shouldn't have said that. That was foolish of me. I didn't mean that. I'm not going to kill an innocent person just because that's not what I meant. He didn't do that. Peer pressure, what's the king going to do? Because of them that were setting by. And I'll tell you, peer pressure and all these things, the alcohol crowd, boy, it'll put you in a bad spot. Make you do some things you're sorry for. So he's weak because he's influenced. He was number six, if you're writing all this down, he was weak because he had no morals. Morals are a good thing. We live in a society that will frown upon a person that has some morals. Says that's that. I mean, if you go to work and something happens and you say, that's not right, A lot of people look at you like you're crazy. But old Herod, he had no morals about him whatsoever. He had no godly standard in his life. Anything goes. If you study about the Herods, they were a killing, murdering, wicked bunch of people. But he had no morals. We know that from the scripture here. He takes his brother's wife. Verse 17, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. He took his brother's wife. He lusts over, now this girl that came and danced, have you thought about who that was to him? That was his niece become his stepdaughter. That's who that was. This is a young lady in his own household. Verse 22, and when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. He has no morals about him. He murders innocent people. Verse number 27. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. That's not the first person Herod had ever had put to death. So to Herod, maybe, although he didn't want to do it, what's one more? What's one more? It meant nothing to him other than he was sorry that he had said it. But he wasn't repentant enough not to do it. He's a bully. He's a tyrant. He's a beast. Yes, he's got a lot of power, but he's a very weak individual. And sad to say, there's a lot of people in power across our land and in the world today that are really very weak individuals, morally, spiritually, mentally, and on we could go. And probably have your head if they could. Especially if you oppose them in any morality or lack thereof in their lives. So Herod is a very weak individual. But then we're going to look just a minute at Herodias, the wickedest. We see some things about Herodias here and learn about here. Why would we say she's the wickedest? Well, she was behind all of this. The beheading of John, the dancing of her daughter. She's the one behind all these things. Look at verse number 19. She's the wickedest. She's prideful. Verse number 19. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him because of what he had said to Herod. It's not lawful for thee to have her. She had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. Now I say she was prideful because it said she had a quarrel against him. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 verse number 10, only by pride cometh contention. You want to know why people fight and quarrel and squabble? That word quarrel there, it means a brawl, a petty fight, a dispute, ill will, complaint, to dispute with loud, angry words, to squabble. Do you know why people quarrel and squabble and fight and fuss? Pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Quarreling is wicked. Quarreling is one of the most un-Christ-like activities that you and I could ever be involved in, and it stems from a prideful attitude that says, how dare they talk to me like that? Don't they know who I am? Don't they, who do they think they are? I'll show them. They're not going to, but that's pride. That's pride. You show me people quarreling and squabbling and fighting, and I'll show you people that are full of pride. And they just are not going to let anything go. You know, Herodias could have said, Herod could have said, he's right. A lot of people will go on in their being wrong, but they've at least got enough character about them to say, but they're right. You know, they don't have enough to get right, but they'll at least admit that they're wrong. But boy, not her. She had a quarrel against John. She wasn't going to let that go. She would have killed him if she could have got her hands, but she could not, is what the Bible says. That's just pride. And it's the same thing in a family. It's the same thing in government squabbling and fighting between. Why can't they just sit down, get along, and fix something? Because somebody would have to say, well, we're wrong and you're wrong. But boy, they're not going to do that. Pride. It's a pride thing. In a family, in a business, employee, employer, school, I mean, you name it. Quarreling, contentions, only by pride. And it's wicked in the sight of God. She's prideful. Number two, she's a plotter. Look at verse number 19. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. We're not going to read all down through there again, but skip on down to verse 24. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. She had planned and thought about, how could I get John? How could I get back at John? She had plotted this out. If you read in Matthew chapter 14, verse number 8, the same account, it says about her, and she being before instructed of her mother, before she ever went in there and danced, Herodias told her daughter, if he offers you anything, ask for John the Baptist's head. And I believe here in this passage of Scripture, she even went back to her mother. Now, you sure you want me? You go ask for John's head. She's a plotter. She's a conniver. Boy, some people get even if they have an opportunity, and some people, they'll make sure they have an opportunity. That's how Herodias was. She planned it out. I'm going to get even with John. She's wicked. She's a plotter. Number three, she's a user. Look at verse 22. When the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it unto thee. What kind of person uses their own children for revenge? That's what she did. What kind of a person would allow their daughter to be made into a lustful object for these men to lust after? I guarantee she wasn't clogging. That's wicked. What was going on? It was ungodly. She had made her daughter into that kind of an individual. She's a manipulator. She's just like Jezebel. She's just in the New Testament. Jezebel's in the Old Testament. Both of them used anything they could to manipulate and get her way. That is wicked. She's a user. She's a plotter. She is vengeful. She is bitter. She's motivated by hatred and murder. Verse 24, she said, the head of John the Baptist. Skip on down to verse 27. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison. I've thought a lot about John's just sitting down there counting the days. He's not expecting this, I don't think. And all of a sudden, footsteps come down the hall. The door opens up. John, come here. What? Bend over. That's it. Immediately, this thing took place. Went and beheaded him in the prison. Verse 28, and brought his head in a charger. Now, I think it's Numbers chapter 7 in the Bible explains what a charger is. It is a great big platter. It's a great big plate. And brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. Can you imagine how that actually happened in real life? They're sitting around at the party and things are going on, and the king says, "All right, go cut off his head." And a few minutes later, here a man comes in, big old plate. John's head's on that plate. You talk about a gruesome. Goes over to that damsel, that's a young girl, gives her that plate. Well, that's nasty. She goes over and, what did Herodias do with John's head? The Bible does not say. We don't know what she did with John's head, but knowing her character and thinking about her and Jezebel and other people in the Bible, she probably put it on the mantle. Walked by it every day and said, "Who's laughing now, John? John, you gonna preach to me and tell me I'm not right with God?" I mean, she's a wicked person. She'd look at old John's head there. She's a wicked individual. She'd talk to John. I bet she quoted Matthew 7 to him. "Judge not that ye be not judged." Everybody knows that. If they don't know another verse in the Bible, they know that. "Judge not that ye be." And she probably mockingly went by John. Said, "Who's laughing now?" Makes me think of what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 12 and 1. Jeremiah's talking to the Lord there about things that are going on in the world. And he asked the Lord the question. He said, "Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" Jeremiah asked the question, why are the wicked prospering like they do? Why are they all happy that deal treacherously? Why? Sometimes it's hard not to fret because of evildoers. Like the Bible says in Psalms 37 in verse number 1. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." But look how evil they are. Look what they done to John. Look at their attitude towards the thing. What do we learn as we study the Bible? And the disciples are helpless. Verse 29, "And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb." Is that what you get for doing good? Is that what you get for following God and doing what's right and having courage? You might. But you and I have to remember tonight that it's not over. That's not the end of it. Because see, as soon as John's head left his body, John was in heaven with the Lord. As soon as Herodias, whenever the day come where her last breath was taken, she lifted up her eyes in hell, being in torments. And she's there tonight. But she's not been judged yet. Whatever happens in this life is temporary. But there's a God in heaven who's a righteous judge. And one day, Herodias will stand at the great white throne judgment. Matthew chapter 7 says that there will be people that will say, "Have we not done many wonderful works? Have we not prophesied in thy name?" There'll be a lot of people one day that'll be resurrected out of hell, and they'll stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and they'll make their case. "We were pretty good people." I'm sure Herodias and Herod gave a lot of money to their political party, and I'm sure they gave money to get a tax break or whatever the case might be. You know, I'm sure in their eyes they weren't too bad. They'll all stand before God one day. But God's got a grandstand full of witnesses. I'd say she'll see John again and he'll have his head. I'd say she'll recognize who that is. See, it's all just temporary. We're just passing through. The Lord is righteous in all that He does. Even when something is terrible and tragic like this, and it seems like the evil has the upper hand, it's not over yet. It's not over that. We have to continually be reminded of that, that it's not over yet. But we're headed in that direction. It's very bright for the people of God. It's very dim for those that don't know the Lord. Very dark outlook. So there's some interesting passages of Scripture, verses 14 through 29. It shouldn't discourage us. It's just a reality. If we live for God, the Bible said, Paul told Timothy, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Might come to us. God will give grace. God will give grace. So I appreciate your good attention tonight.